Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Today is the day. The sucking stops here tonight at 5:30. Probably about 5:50, knowing how ESPN does the lottery. Tonight, the sucking stops here. Hallelujah! It's over! The long walk through the desert, the Suns, the first pick in the draft, the Phoenix Suns, and Lonzo Ball. I see it so clearly.
So what are we going to do when the Suns pick seventh? What are we going to do tomorrow? We're going to be looking at, what foreign player are they going to draft and stow away overseas for the next three seasons?
Lauri Markkanen.
I'd be fine with that.
I wouldn't store him. I'd hope they'd get him at seven. Could you imagine tonight? Like, I haven't told you this. I can't make it.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Breaking news.
No, I know. You're going. I was going to go, but Sun has his final orchestra concert. Did not know this until this morning. I was going to teach him how to tie a tie. I'm racing out the door.
I suggest a clip-on.
Yeah. You know what? I did a couple just in the car and walked him back into him and said, here you go. Just throw them on.
Yeah, that's smart. That's what I do. I don't know how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
I haven't worn one since my wedding, so.
Get out of here.
I think I've worn one.
Do you own one?
I do. I had to go to a Catholic wedding, I think, last summer, and I wore one. But
there you go.
Other than that, I was on a nice three-year run without a tie.
Well, but here's the thing. I want to be there tonight for the Suns, but it's my son's final orchestra concert.
Priorities.
Far, far more important. That's why we do this. Because if they do get the seventh pick, can't you just – you're going to be in this media area, right? Or are you going to go stand with the masses?
No, I'll be in the media area.
I think you should stand with the masses.
Will there be masses?
That's a good question.
There will be some.
There's no more circus. There usually is circus on draft
day. It's like, what's the definition of a few? What's the definition of a mass of people?
How many?
Seven? Ten?
How many of them will be Suns employees?
Several.
Yes. That's the thing that I've noticed now at these press conferences that I go to, that the new trend is organizations stack the room with their own people. So here's Joe Blow. He can't coach dead. Yeah, we got Coach Blow. Yeah. No. And the guy's terrible. So
seat fillers. Like they do at the award ceremonies.
Yeah, we just don't need that.
The new thing at press conferences.
We don't need that. That is not how it is supposed to be.
We need a top two pick. That's what we need.
Could you imagine if they pick like fifth?
And by we, I mean the city of Phoenix and all.
No, we.
Fans.
I'll say we. The sucking should end tonight, right?
You would hope?
You would hope that the sucking would end tonight. But guess what? If the Lakers get the number one pick tonight in the lottery, everybody outside of L.A. is going to say the fix is in. Everybody.
Hopefully the Suns have a little bit better luck than the Coyotes have had in recent drafts when it comes to the lottery. So.
Because look, if they get Lonzo, then you trade Bledsoe and you go get a really good player to put along with Bledsoe and they have a second first-round pick. I know it's a lower first-round pick, but it just all makes sense. And, you know, Josh Jackson, I don't know. Casey Jacobson is going to be with us here in a couple of minutes. And we'll have Casey Jacobson, FS1, Pac-12 Network, Suns analyst. He will be with us to talk about the draft lottery. He's actually flying in and is going to be at the lottery. That'll be here in about 8-9 minutes. Paula Bovin, the professor, she had a meeting that called in yesterday, so she's back with us today. We'll have Paula today for her weekly segment. I'm in a fine mood today, as you can tell, because I just have a feeling that we're going to have some drama tonight. Drama, edge of seat. As I'm thinking about this now, I'm not going to be anywhere as near a TV, so I'll be on satellite. That's all I listen to. I'll be on NBA radio. I might even hear Eddie Johnson break this thing down. I'll be somewhere on the I-10, somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock tonight. I don't know where you guys are going to be when this all goes down. I would love to be in the draft area with fans. I don't need to be with the organization. Because the organization, here's the thing, no matter what happens tonight, the organization is going to come stand out front. Ryan McDonough is going to come stand out front and say, we are excited about our draft position. We couldn't be happier. If he picks fifth and he says, we couldn't be more excited, then the nose is just going to grow right in front of us. this will be one of those nights for Ryan McDonough where truth serum is going to be real easy. He's not going to need to take any truth serum. If they pick anywhere outside of one or two, then it's not good. It's not good. And the question will be, are you disappointed? No, not are. Are you no, don't let them off the hook. Why do you think you cannot have luck in this position with this franchise? How is it that you go through a year of losing games intentionally and you still can't get a number one pick? Do not let them off the mat tonight. Not, hey, you must be really excited. No, no. Eric, if I'm not going to be there, I think you got to go after him tonight on this. So I'll DVR this. I can go back and watch it later, and I'll be listening live somewhere on the I-10, somewhere as I'm making my way out to my son's orchestra concert tonight to watch him play string bass. There's a bunch of other stuff going on, but to me, easily, the Suns are the biggest story of the day. Not even close. Greinke's throwing tonight against the Mets. That's a huge deal. They need Greinke after Godley did what he did last night. Godley pitched pretty well, other than he was effectively wild. He walked too many last night. I think it was 5 walks. Struck out 7.
And, Brad, I should just let you know, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter this morning. I know you've been doing TV show prep, but there are reports that the Cubs are going to have several scouts in attendance to watch Greinke tonight. So
really?
Keep that in the back of your mental Rolodex.
Wow. Well, that's going to start happening over and over and over.
Especially the way the Cubs have been playing recently.
Well, look, if you're the Diamondbacks, and thanks for bringing that up, but if you're the Diamondbacks, Eric, you should be shopping him around,
of course.
Right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Right? I mean, his value, he's just showing right now that I still have it. I have it in a big way. The Diamondbacks are not going to win the National League West, in my opinion, this year.
No.
The A.J. Pollock injury, going back on the DL with a groin after what happened last year, that's a huge deal.
And if the Diamondbacks can get a haul for Greinke,
oh, sure,
and dump that contract, that's a win-win.
Well, I don't know if you saw Sunday's game. It was Mother's Day. They had him running the bases. They ran out of position players. So here's a $33 million pinch runner. And I'm like, the game's tied at the time. And I'm thinking, you know what? They're going to get a base hit. He's going to try to score.
Oh, don't say
he's going to have a collision home plate and fracture his shoulder. Yep. And that's the end of that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was just wondering how Ken and Derek were handling that one.
His leg's going to look like a 4 after he crashes into the catcher. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. That was a good win, though, last night. They had a 6-1 date.
The Diamondbacks can score runs at home. It's funny how that works. On the road, different story.
They're not good. But the Mets' bullpen is awful. I mean, they are awful. But trading, so on the Greinke thing, you're at mid-May. His numbers are terrific. And if you're, how many teams around the major leagues do you feel like you're in a position that you can go make a run this year already? You know you're going to make a run this year. Like San Francisco right now has won, they've won 4 straight. And the Giants are awful, and they're 9.5 back. But all it takes for them is to go win another 4 in a row, and all of a sudden they're going to be 5-6 back. They're going to be back in the race. I think the Diamondbacks are going to do that slow descent and look at where they are and try to build for future. So, yeah, if Greinke is, in fact, out there being shopped right, I'm fine with that. Harvard Law School had a concussion report. Peter King on his website, MMQB, released the Harvard Law School concussion report. Really interesting. The Seahawks are considering Kaepernick or RG3. I'm telling you what, if the Cardinals, if Gabbert has to play for Palmer and doesn't perform, and Kaepernick has to come in for Wilson and performs, there's going to be a lot of people not happy down here. And just the fact that Kaepernick is being considered an RG3 while the Cardinals brought in Blaine Gabbert. If you had to split hairs between those three quarterbacks, RG3, Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert. Now, Russell Wilson is a running quarterback. They're used to that up in Seattle. I understand that Kaepernick and RG3 are along the same lines. Would I rather have Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert, or RG3 backing up Carson Palmer? Would Kaepernick or RG3 push Carson Palmer a little bit?
I'm going to interrupt you one more time because we have pseudo breaking news from the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Kent Summers tweeted about 6 minutes ago, Bruce Arians says Deion Buchanan had ankle surgery recently.
Wow.
Will be questionable for the season opener.
Wow.
Reddick is the starter as of right now.
It's funny how these NFL injury reports, it drives the beat writers crazy. Drives them nuts. I'm fine with this. Because the games in August don't matter. Any of you that are paying money for exhibition football, go find a worthy charity to donate to that rather than go watch this stuff in August. I've already told Eric, I'm going to take the month of August off because I'm going to sit here every day and say that drivel and that slop that the NFL is putting out there and fans have to pay money for or are considering paying money for, you know, it drives me crazy. It's like the worst part of sports is August. Absolutely the worst part. It's the dog days of baseball and phony football is going on. So.
And the moral of the story is the Cardinals really didn't want Darryl Washington.
Yeah,
I mean, if they knew this was coming down.
No, that's true. But I think it was MJ. I think it was Jarecki who said, who talked to Darryl, and they've got a relationship going. And Mike is a free agent right now himself. He's out looking around. That the Cardinals said, yeah, you're going to come here and play for the minimum. And he said, no, thanks. So, which to me says you need the money. I mean, that's how that screams. But you're right. You're right. And they could have said, oh, my gosh, we have to have him back here. Interesting. And Antonio Cromartie is, I just couldn't resist this story.
Congrats to the family. Again. 14 times over.
He had a vasectomy, too, from the reports.
Oh, geez.
And it still didn't work. 14th child. 14! I'm going crazy with four. So we're going to get into some stuff here a little bit later on. The Cavaliers are going to have a sponsor on their jerseys and the amount of money they're going to get for that. Greg Popovich ripping Zaza Pachulia called the play dangerous and unsportsmanlike. And I'm thinking it's a closeout play. I didn't see dirty there myself. This is Greg Popovich turning the attention away from his team and onto him. Because they are the underdogs in this series. And much, much more as we roll on. But up next, Casey Jacobson from the airport. He is flying down to Phoenix for the lottery proceedings tonight with the Suns. That's next. We'll talk Lonzo Ball and much more. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Casey Jacobson joins us now. FS1, Pac-12 Network, and Suns analyst. The biggest day in Suns history since Casey Jacobson were added to the roster. Correct? Right? With the lottery tonight there, Casey? We going to go that far?
I don't know about that. I appreciate you reaching there, Brad, but probably not.
Oh, come on now. Give yourself some credit. All right. What's the best case scenario for the Suns tonight from your view? The obvious is they get the number one overall pick. There's some fans that just are not into Lonzo Ball, but let's just go best case scenario tonight, Casey.
Yeah, number one. For me, number one pick, and you draft Lonzo Ball. I know that some Suns fans are maybe not on board with that. I think some, you know, I hear a lot of talk about Markelle Fultz being the unquestionable number one pick. Brad, I disagree. I think Markelle is a can't-miss guy, meaning that no matter where he goes, he's going to put up points. But I think if the Suns get the number one pick, if it were me, I'd take Lonzo. And here's why. It's so rare that you find a superstar at the college level whose best characteristic is his vision, his passing, and his attitude, and the fact that he doesn't care who gets the credit. He wants to make others better. And in that certain characteristic, that aspect, is more valuable to me than how many points you can put on the board. The Suns right now, as they are constructed, they do not struggle, Brad, to put points on the board. Yeah. You know what they do struggle with? Culture, unselfishness. And that, to me, is what Lonzo brings, and that's why he, in my opinion, the best-case scenario is that they get Lonzo Ball. Whether that's one, two, or three, it doesn't matter to me. I think he's the best fit for this culture and what the Suns need.
What's the worst-case scenario tonight?
Well, the worst case is you fall out of the top four or five, right? I think this draft is very solid. I think the first five picks, including De'Aaron Fox and Josh Jackson, those are all really good prospects. I just think of those, to me, Lonzo and Josh Jackson would be the two best fits for the Suns in what they need. Josh Jackson, the small forward out of Kansas,
right,
who's kind of a versatile guy, reminds me a little bit of Sean Marion, who I played with during my time. Not necessarily in their exact games, but they're kind of the fill-in-the-gap guy. If the Suns can't get one of those two guys, I would be disappointed. if they fall out of the top five, I would be devastated because there is, to me, a drop-off mm-hmm. after the first five picks.
Okay, so where does the father fit into all of this from an NBA evaluation point of view? To me, he can say all he wants about the Lakers and everything with the shoe brand and all that stuff. I don't factor that in if I get the number one overall pick. Do you?
No, I don't. I've said this from day one. And obviously anybody who's listening to this show in this interview knows that I like Lonzo as a player. Now, is his dad annoying? Absolutely. But annoying, I can deal with annoying, Brad. If I'm a GM, if I'm a fan, I can deal with annoying as long as I get Lonzo and what he brings on the basketball floor. And here's the other thing I'll say is, LeVar Ball, the father, has two sons that are still, one's going to be playing at UCLA next year, one is going to be entering his junior season at Chino Hills High School in Southern California. LeVar doesn't have time to be in the Phoenix Suns locker room, for instance, if the Suns were to draft him. He doesn't have time to travel the world and be by Lonzo's side. He's still a father raising two kids. I think we over-exaggerate this a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'll say is Lonzo is the exact opposite of his father. His personality is much more subdued on the floor. He doesn't show a ton of emotion. He's not over the top. He has a quiet confidence about him. So for that, I think he would be a great pickup. And yeah, we're going to deal with some annoying stuff with LeVar, just like everybody who knows him. But his heart's in the right place. I think it'd be fine.
We're talking with Casey Jacobson. So let me take this a step further, Casey. And what I'm hearing from fans is LeVar is in a space where he's in Lonzo's head. Lonzo comes here. He plays out his contract. He leaves and goes to the Lakers. Phoenix is stuck with nothing. Now, that could happen with Markelle Fultz. It could happen with Josh Jackson. You don't know if it's even going to work out. You know, you can look at Bennett, number one overall pick a few years back, and he was not even playing much anymore. Guys come and go. Lonzo, to me, is completely, totally special, once every 10-year type of guy. But the concern about him just coming here as a development guy and then leaving, what do you think?
Look, that's a problem that every single franchise deals with every single player.
Agreed.
And
agreed.
The only thing I'll say is, if you draft Lonzo, and he is a great fit, which I think he would be, why would he want to leave an organization that can pay him more money? When you draft a player, I think a lot of the fans maybe forget about this. If you have success at a franchise that drafts you, that franchise can pay you a significantly more amount of money to stay there than to leave somewhere else. So if we're really concerned about money, if that's what Lonzo is concerned about, if he were a son, he would make more money. Now you could say, well, he would go to L.A. and he'd make more money off the court. That's actually not that true. There are players that go everywhere, Oklahoma City and wherever other cities, and they make money in Dorf. You don't have to live in L.A. to be an endorsable athlete. So that to me is hooey. If he's successful with whatever team he drafts him, I think he would have a greater chance of staying there.
Let me ask you this. We're talking with Casey Jacobson, FS1 Pac-12 Network Suns analyst. If they get the number one pick, then what happens to Eric Bledsoe over here long term? Do the Suns now look at Bledsoe, and I've had this stance for the last couple of years, Eric Bledsoe to me is somebody you can trade. You can do that. You can actually move this roster around. Or are you of the opinion, come on, Brad, you put Lonzo, you put Bledsoe, you put Devin Booker out there, you figure out your five and your four, and you're good for years to come?
Well, let me first say that I really like Eric Bledsoe's game, and the production that he has put up has been remarkable. He's the best, to me, player in the NBA that has yet to make an all-star team.
Wow.
He's been consistent. The one thing I have criticized, and it's not necessarily something that Eric Bledsoe could even help, is that he's been off and on injured throughout his career, which worries me. The way he plays, I think, leads to more injuries as well. But, you know, like, I think that if we're talking about Lonzo, right, Brad, right here?
Lonzo and Bledsoe.
If you get Lonzo Ball, Eric Bledsoe should be traded, in my opinion. He will have tremendous value on the open market. There's a lot of teams that would love to have Eric Bledsoe's production. You can get a great player in return for him. I absolutely think that the best thing for Devin Booker would be to have a guy like Lonzo that could feed him the basketball and all the other bigs. Even like a guy like Alex Len, I think would be so much better of a basketball player playing with a guy like Lonzo Ball than he is playing with Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight as the Suns are right now constituted.
All right. Before we get you out of here, quick thoughts here. Are the Celtics a speed bump for LeBron and whoever else they roll out?
No question, Brad. You remember April 5th, 2017? That was the last regular season game that Cleveland and Boston played. It was a much hyped game because they both had the exact same record at the time in the Eastern Conference. It was built up. Who's going to be, who's going to claim the number one seed in the Eastern Conference for the playoffs? And LeBron James had like 36 points in about 35 minutes. They ran over the Celtics. They cut through him like a hot knife through butter, one of my favorite sayings. Kyrie was unguardable, and the Celtics had all of their players healthy. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was out there, Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, really good defenders, could do nothing to stop LeBron and company. They got whatever they want. They're more physical. They are a much better three-point shooting team. It worries me a ton that we're going to see. I think the Celtics have a chance to get one game, and it might even be game one. It's very possible that the Celtics win one game, but I think this is a five-game series. Could be a sweep, a total mismatch at the one and two seed, probably more than any other one and two seed in any conference that I can think of.
Over on the Western side, is Popovich right that Pachulia's play was dirty, or is this Popovich focus off him, focus off team, all on him, playing games as Pop likes to do? Where do you come down on that one?
It was a dirty play, Brad, but it was an unintentionally dirty play. What I mean by that, I don't think that Zaza Pachulia meant to injure Kawhi Leonard. But it is known that when you close out to a shooter, this is kind of an unwritten rule in all basketball, and you learn this from about high school age on. Right. When you close out a shooter, you need to give that player a chance to land.
Yes.
And Pachulia did not do that. So it was a dirty play, but I don't think he set out in his mind, I'm going to stick my foot out. So that's where I landed. I understand Greg Popovich coming out. This is part of the gamesmanship that a lot of the best coaches who have a lot of clout in the NBA play. Phil Jackson did it all the time.
Correct.
When he was coaching the Lakers. So I'm fine with Popovich doing this. But I really deep down don't believe that anybody on the Spurs or the Warriors think that Zaza did that intentionally. And let me ask you this. Would Zaza even be on the floor for the Warriors if he weren't a player that enjoyed physical contact and played through it? So we celebrate Zaza, or he has a place in the NBA because he's physical.
Right.
So we can't really criticize him for making a physical play and unintentionally injuring somebody. That's not fair.
I thought it was interesting that Popovich did this against the Warriors and Steve Kerr as close as they are. And I know Steve's not out there on the bench, but for Pop to go off like he did yesterday, to me, just screamed, I want some attention on me. This is gamesmanship. And I don't know. They got to do something over there to try to stay in this series. And that was just how it went yesterday. So stay well, safe travels. You're at the lottery tonight?
I am. I'll be flying to Phoenix right now to be a part of the lottery draft party. So I hope everything goes well for Suns fans.
I'll see you down there. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
See you. There's Casey Jacobson. Good to have him. FS1 Pac-12 Network Suns analysts tonight, the draft lottery. Yeah, I mean, if you're still in that boat, I think it's a very small boat of we don't want to see the Suns get Lonzo Ball. I don't get that at this point. It's pretty obvious to me. And they can trade Bledsoe and get somebody really, really good, I would think. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now the Professor Paula Bovin. She joins us from Arizona State University, the Walter Cronkite School, where she is on staff full-time there doing her thing and, of course, involved in a lot of other projects as well. You were in Austin, Texas last week working on an event down there. As we sit here today, I have to make a proclamation. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I want you to just hold back a little bit because I'm going to put my hands in the air, Today is the day that the pain of the Suns is over. Today is the day that LaVar Ball is going to be in our world.
That is awesome, Brad.
It's the day, Paula. Seize the moment. All those great phrases, 7 years of sucking, is about to come to an end today. I'm in a very good mood.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I wish I could share that, but I am so damaged by coin flips and lottery balls or ping pong balls of lotteries passed that I'm guessing the Suns have, what, I think a 12.3% chance to get the number 5 pick. I fear that's what's going to happen. I shouldn't be that way.
No, it's fine. I realized this. I was telling Eric on the air, my son has his final orchestra concert tonight at 6:30. There's no way I'm making it from the Suns to South Gilbert. So the orchestra concert wins 100 times over. So I'm not going to be there with the Suns fans. It's not happening. But can you imagine if it's like there's no protection on this, right? I mean, they could be like the last pick in the lottery, not the first pick.
Yeah, no, it's I'm sure it's going to be fine. I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but just recently sort of watching with the Coyotes and things, how things went for them, it was worse than it was supposed to be. And it just, poor Jerry Colangelo. Every time lottery comes up, every year we go back to the Lew Cinder coin flip. You know, it's kind of like the goat and the Cubs. There's just some kind of curse, I think. So.
Well, and here's the thing, Paula. If they get the number one pick, they can take Lonzo. Yeah, LeVar will be in town. So I think it's Scott Bordeaux's taking over the Suns beat. He's in heaven.
Right. Right.
Dan's in heaven as a columnist. I mean, they're just rolling in storylines with that guy. But on the court, where I care about, you immediately trade Eric Bledsoe. Like draft night, Eric Bledsoe becomes the most valued commodity. And you put Lonzo Ball and Devin Booker, and seats are going to get filled all of a sudden. TV ratings are going to show up because they haven't shown up at all the last several years. There's been nobody watching that team. But does the league have like the cold envelope, or the cold ball that comes out and says, no, you guys intentionally lost. We're not going to have you have it. And if Magic gets the number one pick, the conspiracy theorists are going to be everywhere. They're all going to be on grassy knolls.
I know. It's just inevitable how if it doesn't fall exactly as the odds predict, it makes you wonder. I know. We both know it. At least I don't have any question. It's all on the up and up. But it is just bizarre how that is one thing that has haunted many franchises in this community has been this process. I'm excited just because I think there's going to be, as you said, a lot of reasons to watch the Suns,
yes.
Whether it's Ball or, something crazy happens. Say they get the first pick and they decide to go with Fultz or something, I mean, just the possibilities of what this team can be is really, really exciting.
If they go with Fultz, then I am just going to fall on my pen. And maybe Robert wants that. I don't know. I'll just take one for the team. Talk with Paula Bovin, the professor. Let's see. The Suns are very interesting. So the Cubs reportedly are going to have several scouts at tonight's Diamondbacks game because Greinke is throwing. Now, Greinke has been very, very good. 44 strikeouts, 3 walks in his last 4 outings, I think is the exact numbers. The team is hanging around, but they lose Pollock to the disabled list. Are you of the mindset that the Diamondbacks should get out from under this contract with Zach Greinke? Or, come on, they're hanging around here in first place. What do you make out of this?
No, and I know it's a lot of money and they could do a lot of things with that money, but you need an ace on your staff. You don't succeed without an ace on your staff, and he's looking like that guy. I know last year was a disappointment, even though it wasn't horrific as some people painted it to be.
Right.
But I mean, goodness, some of his outings, he's looking like an ace. I think to succeed in baseball, to make make your way into the playoffs and do something, you have to have that guy. Now, are they hamstrung because of other things with that contract? A little bit, but to me, if they can keep A.J. Pollock healthy, they're a different team with him in the lineup.
Yeah.
And certainly the way Goldschmidt has looked lately, and defensively I've been excited about some of the things I've been seeing when there were some major league concerns going in. So I'm a little more optimistic. Their division is tough. That's the problem, I think. They're once again sort of battling this sort of the elite at the top of their division, but at least I want to watch his team now.
Let me flip this one at you. So the Cardinals signed Blaine Gabbert, but Colin Kaepernick hasn't been signed by anybody. There has been a lot written. There has been a lot said. Is the freezing out of Colin Kaepernick in place? Now, Seattle has some interest in him reportedly, and maybe that's where he ends up. Do you feel as though that looking at Kaepernick, that the NFL is saying, we don't want anybody to touch this guy without saying it?
God, I hope not. There is something to me that stinks about it, though, Brad. I mean, I think a lot of the reason is because, you know, he's had opportunities to shine and hasn't. But to suggest that he's maybe not as good as some of the guys that have signed has been a little hard for me to swallow. I don't think it's a giant conspiracy. I just, you know, a league mandate, whispers behind the scenes. But I do think there are some teams that, you know, for all the wrong reasons, are staying away from him. You know, if I'm a team and I don't have to sign him for a lot of money, boy, he's the kind of guy I would sign because he's got a lot to play for. He's got a lot to prove, and I think he's driven by that now. Now, does he have the tools to succeed in this league? I don't know, but I sure remember a time when people thought so, right?
Right.
Remember pre the national anthem, pre-drama, pre when he started struggling? He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean, it's just bizarre where that whole career has gone.
Beth Mowins is in the news cycle. So Beth Mowins.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I think this has been, this was addressed to John Skipper, the president of ESPN, this last off season, start of the off season. Why has a female not been a lead play-by-play announcer in the NFL? And when I taught at Cronkite last year, we did a couple days on Gail Sirens and just the impact of that was the female play-by-play. We also did the silent game and just the whole idea of play-by-play people.
Sure.
I cannot believe there's a few things here. So Beth is going to do you know her at all, Paula?
I don't know her. I know her work. I remember she used to do whack games and things like that about a decade ago.
So the thing is she's going to be paired with Rex Ryan and they're going to do the LA Chargers and Denver Broncos to start out the season. All the focus will be on Rex. There seems to me to be a play here by ESPN of let's put a female play-by-play guy with Rex Ryan, and we'll get attention from all over the world for many, many different reasons, including guys like me talking about it on my show. But the backlash towards Beth, because there was no social media towards Gail, and I'm seeing things like what games has she called, and hopefully she doesn't wear open-toed shoes because of Rex's foot fetish. I mean, the stuff that she's having to face, I've not laughed at any of it because it's just dumb. It's just juvenile. But I think as it gets closer to her first game, she's going to face some stuff. I don't think Doris Burke faced it. You know, it's the NFL having a female do a game.
It's man, those people just need to shut up. I'm sorry, Brad. That stuff annoys me to no end. I mean, she's obviously paid her dues, has earned that right. I mean, the thing people don't like to talk about is it's been hard for people who grew up a certain way listening to games to have their ears sort of trained to a female voice. It is why the more accomplished women doing play-by-play tend to have deeper voices. I mean, I've talked to Ann Myers-Drysdale about this. It's part of what our comfort level is. But the reality is, once we're sort of exposed to these voices, it's not a big deal anymore. I mean, and I think with the Doris Burks of the world, those aren't really, people don't care as much, right? Because now they hear that they do a terrific job. Yeah, there is a difference in tone, inflection, things like that. But it doesn't mean one is better than the other. It's just all about getting used to hearing things. And I know that'll be the case with her, too. But it's just so ridiculous that people have to make this an issue. It's just stupid.
I don't want to make a blanket statement, but what I have found when people make this statement, and I talk to them in person, okay, these are usually guys that are in there above 55. They're usually white. And for whatever reason, they just will not accept a female. They have a hard time accepting people of color through the years. And I think that's become less and less of a problem. Homosexuality. I mean, all these things that are associated with sports nowadays, the Taurasi Penny Taylor wedding, the people I run into just go crazy over it. Like, I don't want to hear any of this in my sports world or my sports page or my sports consumption. Is there too much of this?
No, you know, it's whenever we're going through this transition of things we didn't accept to now things many of us do, it's bumpy. It's a bumpy transition.
Right.
And so maybe things are over-reported sometimes because they're historical. We're going to talk about them. We're going to write about them. But that's okay. I mean, if people are offended or if there's too much of it, fine. But to be offended by it suggests that we're at this level playing field where those stories don't matter anymore. And that's not the case at all. They do matter because they're setting precedent and they're important. So, you know, I mean, yeah, sometimes maybe we're getting too exposed or it's too much. But I think when you're transitioning into a more open-minded society, it's kind of the byproduct.
Well,
of it.
And what I find on these people is they are the same ones that think that ESPN has a political agenda.
Right.
And they also support a certain way of voting and the president that's sitting in the office right now. And that's their right, I will say. But man, the backlash towards sports off some of these stories or some of the, like Beth Moen's doing an NFL game to me is almost a non-story. If it weren't the NFL, it's like, what are we making a big deal out of this about?
You're also more evolved, Brad. I mean, you got to remember that too.
It depends on what you're talking about. My waistline or, you know, follically challenged or, you know. But tonight, Paula's the night. It's over. They're going to get the number one pick. We're going to have Lonzo here.
No. My God. I don't know you anymore, Brad. Who are you?
Some foreign guy who doesn't play. He's at an academy. The Suns will take with the eighth pick, and we'll hear about him like in 3 years when they sell his contract.
That's the Brad I know and love.
That's the Brad you know and love. Go, Lonzo! All right. I'll see
God.
You soon. See you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye. It's Paula Bovin, the professor. Does she want to keep coming on with me if I'm like this, Eric? Do you want me like this every day? There's only one day out of my lifetime that we can have Lonzo Ball's an even chance of coming here.
I always say it's your show, but if you are like this every day, trust me, it will be your show.
Oh, you're going to quit?
Not our show.
You're going to quit?
I wouldn't quit. I'd just be more selective as to when you work. When I show up between the hours of 8:30 and 11:00.
There's hours here?
Loosely.
Well, why shouldn't we celebrate this? It's not like...
It's too early to celebrate,
though.
It's not
like Anthony Bennett is sitting there.
It's almost like you're going out of your way to jinx it, saying we're going to celebrate this great pick.
It's Lonzo!
Yeah.
I have my good luck shirt on!
He's going to look great in a Laker uniform.
He's going to look great in a Laker uniform.
Let's just cut to the chase. It's happening.
Okay, so if it happens, you know that tomorrow, either way, I'm leading with this. Either way, you're going to have paramedics here on one hand... Because I will take this pen and just fall on it if they don't get him. And if these guys, I swear, if these guys get the number one pick and they trade him, you know, Carmelo wants out. I could see these nitwits over here doing something like, let's go get an aging star. It's not that hard, guys. If you're all wound up about a dad, you're in the wrong business. Just get out. If you just think about that on face value, his dad's kind of over the top. I see over the top dads every week at sixth grade club basketball games. Way over the top. Crushing these kids.
Yeah, Casey Jacobson didn't seem real concerned about
the
dad. He's in your court, and he's all about all the chips to the center of the table on Ball. Family, really.
But if they get the pick, do you think Ryan is going – someone's going to ask, well, what about the dad? Ha, ha, ha. Do you think Ryan's going to say, oh, yeah, well, we're just not going to take him because the dad's a real concern? No, he's not going to say that.
They're going to go over all these scenarios in their when the pick come down media session.
Yeah, I mean, think about this, Eric. You could change the face of this franchise in a positive way. You can get out of jail, which is what they've been in. I call it the ditch. It's beyond that. They've been in prison of sucking for the last 7 years because you could have the number one overall pick in Eric Bledsoe. You're not trading Devin Booker, right? But you've got a commodity there in Eric Bledsoe.
Unless it's for Porzingis. You're not trading Devin Booker.
I wouldn't trade Booker for Porzingis.
That makes one of us.
You would?
Of course.
Are you kidding me? Do we have a – is there a – have you been nipping on the cooking sherry?
I have not.
Anything? Margarita mix down the hall? Seriously, you would do that?
I would.
You're not just saying that to get me going, are you?
Devin Booker does one thing really, really well.
No.
Porzingis does several things really, really well.
Devin Booker puts butts in the seats and in front of television.
And Porzingis wouldn't?
No.
I disagree with that.
Porzingis is a very, very good all-star player.
Mm-hmm. And what is Devin? And what is Devin Booker?
Devin Booker's got a personality that I've seen. Personality sells.
Who is more of an elite star, Porzingis or Devin Booker?
If we're talking basketball only,
because
I'm talking business too.
But I want to get back in the playoffs. I don't care
playoffs.
I don't care if there's five people in the seats. I want to see the Suns play a playoff game.
If you're a business owner, you have to put butts in seats.
What comes with butts in seats? Wins.
You would think, but in Phoenix, different market.
Yes,
different market.
But you and I would agree this is a Suns town. And if
the Suns ever got back
to 7 seconds or less, or the Barkley era,
question.
I know that could be a pipe dream. But
no question. I mean, the NFL guys will all disagree with you on that, but it's a fact. If the Suns were doing 55 wins and they were fun and they were exciting, and the problem is that the fans have yet to really meet Devin Booker. You need a deep playoff run. You need to get through a round or two because. Then these TV stations that just sit around and show cats and trees and cars crashing will actually take the time to say, hey, we're going to take 3.5 minutes and do something on Devin Booker in the afternoon and not sit here and say, well, it's June and, you know, the Suns aren't in the playoffs, so we're just going to tell you all the different days until the monsoon gets here. We're going to waste your time for 2 hours with weather every 6 minutes, which is what they do. Because our research shows, our consultant shows, okay, knock yourselves out. Until Devin Booker gets in front of the masses, not the guy that holds up his sports page or goes on this and reads about Devin Booker, they got to go get the housewife. They got to go get the young 25-year-old that doesn't watch evening news anymore. They got to do that. Guys, ESPN blew out all those people. Sports Illustrated blew out all those people. You have great stories like Devin Booker. There's places don't tell them. We do, but there's not enough of them anymore. It's a fact. There's a business side here, in my view. If it's just basketball, didn't have to worry about anything else, I'd probably take Porzingis, Eric. I probably would. All right, we have one more segment. I'm going to calm down now. Maybe. Back with more after this timeout. All right, before we get out of here, a couple of stories that caught my eye today. One of them is involving Larry Scott. Larry Scott, the Pac-12. You guys hate Larry Scott because you don't have the Pac-12 network. Hate's probably too strong a word. You shouldn't hate anybody. Life's too short. The Pac-12 network, nobody can get. It's not on DirecTV. Eric has never seen a day of the Pac-12 network in his house, unless it's like a free airing on Cox or something. Even then, you haven't seen it, have you?
I think my brother-in-law has like a way that we can pirate it off the internet.
Oh,
so
good.
A couple times for those ASU games, I think we set up we plugged the TV, did the HDMI into the side of the laptop and tried to stream it that way. But yeah, no.
Eric's in jail today. He can't make the show. USA Today just released this about an hour ago. Pac-12 total revenue under Larry Scott in 2011, when you and I first started going up to San Francisco and we'd see him and have him on the show. $111 million total revenue. Larry Scott, Pac-12 total revenue 2016, $488 million.
Not surprising at all.
So, and they boosted his pay to $4.2 million per year. So what does this mean? Does this mean that all of the gnashing of teeth with everybody that the Pac-12 network is the end-all of end-all and we have to have it in order to make deals, reach people, have people see what's out there, put on softball games at 7 o'clock in prime time to have family and friends watch them rather than just do football all the time and they didn't know what they were doing? Or he absolutely knows what he's doing, and he's increased the revenue by $600 million since he took over. That's saying something. And at a time where Notre Dame is looking at leaving for the ACC with all sports, and the Big 12 is sitting here about to implode. There's a lot of stuff blowing around out there about the Big 12. Is Larry Scott actually doing the right thing with the growth of the Pac-12? That story is pretty interesting to me. And I put this up on my Facebook page, Peter's site today, Jenny Ventus over at MMQB, Harvard's advice for NFL player health and safety. So Harvard, the university's independent study, so it's not tied into the NFL, compared the NFL to 5 other American sports leagues and made 9 recommendations on how to preserve the future of the game. There is a concern that the NFL is doing this slow slow implosion, and that 20 years from now it'll be like boxing. It will be like, hey guys, remember when there was this football stuff that was being played? Sport of football is in a state of intense self-scout. They're looking at self-preservation. I would recommend you to go to my Facebook page and check this out and read it, because they have 9 ways that the league needs to improve itself. And most notably, it's about player safety. It is about player insurance. It's about these former guys that we come across that are lost souls, I call them. Guys are just trying to figure out where their space is in life. It's a terrific read. And we should probably have Peter in the next week, I think. It's probably about time. I haven't talked to him in a while. That's what's on my mind for today. Today, well, you know, today's the day. Celebrate life. Enjoy it, because your life will never be the same after tonight between 5:30 and 6, because Lonzo Ball is going to be a Phoenix Sun. I feel it. Today's the day. And if not, then tomorrow we'll show back up, and who knows what I'm going to do here on the air. It's going to be something that Eric will really get on me about. We have our television show tonight, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. It's on Fox Sports Arizona. Tonight's show, Bruce Arians on his upcoming charity event, Joe Namath. From our interview yesterday, some of Joe, our AZ Audibles, and our latest Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup. That is all on tonight's TV show on Fox Sports AZ with 18 airings per week. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to our partners. Appreciate you guys. Thanks to you for being with us every day. We'll see you tomorrow.